Why should we give as Christians? Where in the Bible do we see giving take place? How much money should we give? And where should this money go? What about those who feel like they don't have very much to give? Well, welcome back to the Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. Here we want to have conversations to help the church engage better with God, His Word, and the culture around us. Joining me today is two guests, and so we have a special guest today. We have...
Hey, wait a minute. Only a special guest today?
Only today.
Oh, man. I thought yes. I was special, too.
Nope. Only today. We have Paul the Grandpa Weemy is what we're calling him.
I love that.
And not to be confused with Rob the Grandpa Goddard. They're both the same.
I think both of us are being made fun of for our age.
Yes. I think so.
Yeah. So I think we should probably express why we're bringing Paul on.
Why did we pull him off the
streets? Paul is an elder in our church, a godly man who has lived faithfully for Jesus, a passion for the kingdom and a kingdom mindset, a gospel-oriented mindset. But I think for this discussion, Paul has 40 years of experience in the industry. He's an expert. He models this. He lives this. And I think one of the people that I would go to when I was discussing this issue or looking for an expert on this issue. And so why not one of the people we take our church to when we're discussing this issue?
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Awesome. I'm really looking forward to today.
Yeah, it's great. Well, the first question I have on this topic is just where do we see giving in the Bible and why should we give? I think in churches we can see this theme from the stage where, you know, they're asking, hey, give today, give your money. But where do we actually see a biblical foundation for that? That's not just rooted in how our culture views this.
I think that's a very important place to start because our world sometimes says churches are just after your money. And some churches are. And we've seen a lot of things that have happened in churches that are for the flesh and not for God. If we're looking for a motive for giving in the Bible, I would say there are three motives. And I'll walk through them individually, but let me start by just saying what they are. God, because we want to be like God. God is a giving God. The gospel, because we're bought with a price, we're not our own. And grace, we're to give motivated by the grace of God to us. So starting with God, the Bible is so clear, but let's go to maybe the most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave. He is the ultimate giver. He created, he gives breath, he gives grace. He gave us, Jesus, his son. God is a generous God. And we see this and we want to become more like him. And so those who grow closer to God, those who become more godly, will be more generous. Mm-hmm. So giving should begin with God. The second motivator that I think is maybe the most primary one for Christians is the gospel. When we understand that we are bought with a price, we are not our own, then we become stewards rather than owners. We become ambassadors rather than consumers. And so we go to the gospel and we say, hey, I am bought with a price, or in view of God's mercy, I give myself to God as a living sacrifice. So all that I am and all that I have is his. And so if God models it, the gospel purchases us and then allows us to see that all that we have and all that we have are to be used to accomplish the purposes that he's placed us here for. And then I would say grace. So when you go to passages in the Bible on giving, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, those sort of passages, God loves a cheerful giver. God is motivates us by his grace, and then that grace overwhelms us, and we become those who are cheerful, those who worship, those who in his grace give. And grace, of course, giving what we don't deserve or giving what other people don't deserve. And so if we can understand those three motives, it will keep us from being bitter or consumers or those who are, I suppose, upset that God wants us to invest in eternity. Yeah. So the three motives for giving that I think are the biblical motives, and obviously any one of these three you could build more, a lot more on God as a model, God as the great giver, the gospel as making us understand that God is our owner, that we've been bought with a price, that we are now on mission or on purpose for him, so we're investors, and then grace, that the grace of God motivates us to be those who invest in eternity, who love others, who truly want to see all that we have and all that we are used to help others know Jesus, love Jesus, live for Jesus, used on mission. Mm-hmm. So we're ambassadors, not consumers. Mm-hmm. We're investors in the kingdom, not savers for earthly things.
Yeah. One of the things I've noticed, Brad, over the years is generous people are usually joyful people. Mm-hmm. They know why they do what they do. God has put a passion on their heart, and they know why they give. Right. And so the opposite is many times when people grip onto money and want to hold onto the money, they're not really as generous. So yeah. The Bible talks so much about money. I think it's one of the top three topics in the Bible that are spoken of throughout yeah. Scripture. Rob has given a few scriptures. One of the things that I've always thought is that people just need to maybe think about a little bit. A thought is, giving is not God's way of getting money from us. Giving is God's way of making us more like Him. And mm-hmm. I think when we try to model ourselves here at CBC, we want to become more like Jesus. We want to become ambassadors.
Yeah.
I think it's really important that we understand that it's God's money.
Yeah.
And I think throughout this podcast, I'm hoping that we can talk a lot about whose is it anyhow?
Yeah.
Because I think that's what we need to keep coming back to.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really good. You got two of my motives in there very well. Yeah. And I would add the third, that God's grace yeah. motivates. So I'm just, yeah. you know, confirming, yeah. Paul, what you said.
Amen.
Yeah. yeah. Well, and it's interesting how we see right away in the Bible with even the Cain and Abel, like immediately we see this idea of we've been given this from God and we are to give it back to Him. And even with Israel, where we see, okay, this tithe, this giving to God, the first fruits that we see right away. And so on that topic, this can kind of be a confusing thing is how much should we give? Some people take this 10% that was given as a part of the law in Israel as that still applies to us today. That is a mandated God command. But how much should we be giving when we read the Bible?
I think that lots of people love that question, and most people are asking that question because they want to give less. So let me answer as carefully as I can. Yeah. The Old Testament tithe was not just 10%. It was probably more like 33%. There's mm-hmm. a lot of other expenses and things tied in.
Right.
And as many scholars who would prefer we don't tithe in the New Testament would like to point out, it was probably used for a lot more than just the operation of the temple. It was probably yeah. used for a number of other things. Coming to the New Testament, it's interesting that the tithe is never commanded, but it is assumed. So Jesus is attacking the Pharisees, and he affirms that they should be tithing, but then he says you need to obey the whole law. You need to be those who are seeking to please Jesus in everything. If you were to ask me directly, do I think every Christian should tithe? My answer would be I don't think the tithe is meant as a legalistic call for Christians to measure up to. I do, however, think it's a great minimizing starting point. So I think that most people who come as consumers want to know how little they can give and still be good Christians. I think what we're trying to produce are those who have seen God as their model, those who have been impacted by the gospel so they know that they're stewards now, not owners, and those who see the grace of God as teaching them to invest in eternity. And then I think that the question is not how little should I give, but the question is where does God want me to invest what is already His? I love 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, that this idea that each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I think four principles, and they don't give you an amount, and I think I prefer not an amount. I prefer that we're owned by God.
Yeah.
In other words, we're not, what we keep back is what we should notice yeah. rather than what we give, because we're stewards.
Yeah.
Not consumers, but we give intentionally. In other words, we think through, we pray through, we give sacrificially, we give joyfully, and we give as God has given to us. So I think some believers, 10% is probably a good starting place. I think for all of us, the question is, Lord, how can I faithfully steward everything you've entrusted to me? And mindset supersedes amount. What yeah. I mean by that is if we want to follow God and be like God, if we want to be godly, if we want to be impacted by the gospel and have that relationship drive and define us, if we want to be grace givers, then I think the question is, how can I use all that I have and all that I am for yeah. His glory, not yeah. what's the minimal amount I can give? And I think, Paul, you referenced that a little bit, but that I think is an answer. So I think yeah. 10% is a great starting point. It's certainly traditionally in the church what we've done. I think you referenced, Brad, first fruits, those sorts yeah. of things we give in terms of an overall thanksgiving yeah. to God. But I think the starting point is more of a mindset than it is an amount.
Yeah.
And I would say that when you have the reasons for giving down and you're more and more controlled by Him, you mentioned, or I think, Paul, you mentioned that giving is one of those things that the Bible talks about almost more than anything else. Jesus yep. actually talks about more than anything else. And I think the reason is, sexual immorality and materialism are the two gods of our age. It's not new. They've yeah. been the gods of the ages in the past. And so we address these not because God needs our money, God doesn't, but because God wants us to be those who are sold out to Him and as those who are ambassadors represent him well. So I don't know if that's a specific answer to your question. Paul, would you add anything to that?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we need to have is we need to have a plan. I know that when I was brought up, we had giving jars that we put every time we made a dollar, we put 10 cents in mm-hmm. that or more. My mother was strong on tithing was important from a very early age.
Those mothers.
And very blessed by that. And Shirley and I really always try to talk to our kids about why we give and where we give. Mm-hmm. I really think it really comes down to one thing. It says stewardship doesn't begin with the 10%. It becomes what is all of my money, 100% of my money, and is God's. Mm-hmm. And so what yeah. part of that can I give? And I've been to a lot of conferences, read a lot of books on this topic. And the joy comes when you push past the 10% number, because that's not the issue. The issue is God's way more interested in our hearts than our wallets.
Yeah.
And honestly, many times when we look at this topic, we have to say, where is our heart?
Yeah.
And if God's put something on your heart, follow him rather yeah. than follow the ways of the world. We see so many ads on when we watch television or even go to movies about you have to have this to be happy.
Yeah.
Well, happiness isn't money. And I've worked with some very wealthy people over the years, and I found that many times when they can release all of that to God, they're the happiest.
Right.
And I think as we are trying to instill in our congregation to be ambassadors for him, money is a big part of that. And can we be free from that money and the almighty dollar that seems to drive and define our lives here in our generation and change that narrative for sure?
So yeah. you're going back to the three motives again and saying that's what should control us. Godliness, we want to be like God. Mm-hmm. The gospel, we're owned. We're stewards, not owners. We're ambassadors, not consumers. And then, of course, grace, the grace of God that just gives us that thankful heart, that the joy, the hilarious giving, if you want to use the Greek word there. Yeah. I love what you're saying, Paul.
I really believe that the gospel has to motivate every part of us. And yeah. I think money is one way by giving it to the right organizations that can make a difference. And the first organization in my list is the church.
Yeah.
Because God wants to
Organism.
Build through the church. Okay. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into that in a second. But I think with what we're saying is what we're getting at is the heart. I think as soon as we're asking that question is of, oh, how much do I need to give or how much am I giving? I think we're asking, like we said at the beginning, the wrong question, where we're saying if my life is fully devoted to God. I mean, it goes the same for, you know, how much should I be resting? How much time should I spend on this thing or enjoying this thing in life? If we shouldn't be asking that question, we should be asking, man, I want to serve God with all of my life. And everything I have is his, my time, my money, my relationships. And so how do I do that best? Yeah.
Love it.
The next question I have, so we've said, okay, we should be those who are giving, we belong to God and everything that we have is his. But where should we be giving our money? You started there, Paul, talking about the church, but more than just that, where should our money go if we've decided, okay, this is how I should be giving my money?
Well, one of the things that I see is the Bible actually lays the priorities out fairly clearly.
Okay.
And one of the things that Paul speaks about in the New Testament is those that are laboring and preaching and teaching is an important part. So I always go to people when they say, so where should I be giving my money? I always say, start with your local church. And many times, as I've talked to people, they don't feel as connected to the local church and they would rather give to missions or mm-hmm. that well in Africa or yeah. whatever. I always go, let's start with the local church. That's the best place to be. And then moving out from there, what has God put on your heart? And if it's a well in Africa and you are fully gospel-oriented, gospel-focused, is that well actually achieving? Many wells in Africa are built by Muslims and they hand out the book of Quran to the yeah. people. Yet many well-meaning individuals here in Canada are giving money to these wells and they're not really hearing God's love. They're right. hearing of something else. And yeah. that's always a challenge. So where I should give, first of all, I say home base, the church, and then move out into the mission field. Mm-hmm. And that could be your Jerusalem, Judea, uttermost parts of the earth. And I think you'd need to look at what are the charities that are around us that are making the most significant difference. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, make sure that your money moves the needle. I use that word a lot because I believe it's important that people know why they give and where they give. And as God actually put it on their heart. I was talking to a friend the other day. He was at some golf tournament. He'd given a very large gift, $25,000. And I said, hey, did that money move the needle? Mm-hmm. He looked at me, you know, I don't even know what that golf tournament was raising money for, but I think it was good. I'm telling people, don't just think it's good, know it's good.
Yeah.
And if you're giving to an organization and it's not moving the needle for the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't give it again. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying don't give to secular organizations or your local foundations.
Langley Foundations.
Or,
the,
and, or whatever. But I think I'm telling people to make sure it moves the needle and changes the world for Jesus Christ. That's my bottom line.
So I really like what you're saying, Paul. I think you're the expert on this. In fact, I think this is what you've given your life to research and check out. And so I just want to affirm that. I always say in terms of priority, and I think all three are important. So please, if you're listening to this, don't diminish the third, because you might say, well, yeah, but the Bible says, and I agree. I think first, always the local church, the local representative of Jesus, the bride of Christ, should be your priority and should be consistent. And you shouldn't be buying things. You should be investing in who God has placed you in terms of community. Second, gospel ministry. You said that, missional impact. Make sure you know where your money is going. Let me say also that there are so many organizations who talk a good talk, but the walk, unfortunately, is not there. So I would encourage you on the second level. First level, you know, be loyal to your local church, but make sure they're above reproach. Make sure they're held accountable. On the second level, I would find someone like Paul who can do the research and help you understand where that money is actually going. Because I've heard and seen with my own eyes of ministries who are reporting this incredible gospel impact, but really having minimal impact.
Yeah.
And the report far supersedes the reality. And then thirdly, So local church, missional impact, but I would say get help in doing that. Someone like Paul who can do the research, who has been an expert in this for a long time. And then third, I'd say look for people who truly have a need and meet that need. And I mean that from, you know, if you see people on the street, I would say you shouldn't give them money. But I love a friend that we just actually went to heaven. Used to make sandwiches, and he'd have sandwiches and apples and meals and those sorts of things. And he'd see somebody on the street, he'd give them those things. I think giving a cup of water in Jesus' name is incredibly powerful. So those would be in terms of alignment of my priorities, local church first, second, gospel impact ministries. I think Paul said that very well. And then third, just awareness in your sphere of influence of need and meeting that need in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
So I've worked with major donors over a lot of my years. But I've also worked with friends and other people, and I always say, know why you're giving, and does it make a difference for Jesus Christ? Yeah. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I think that's so important, and it being, I think our need to also see, okay, are the things I'm giving towards, are they things that I'm also like in prayer for, things that I'm,
yeah, I love,
because I think sometimes we can, our giving can be almost like we're trying to appease our conscience.
Yes, where it's, we're throwing money at
it. If I give that, then that means, you know, I've made God happy. I've made myself happy. I've made an impact. And then I don't need to, I can just
spend the rest of my money on whatever I want.
Then I'm good to go.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the same with time. We can just go to church once a week and go, okay, now I'm good to go. Yeah. But I think it being this whole life, if we're living for God, and what you're saying, Paul, is, man, then it should be actually things that are going to make an impact, that are things that are very important, where I'm going, I'm not just giving my money and then I don't care about that. I want to know, how is my money being used? I want to pray for those people. I want to make sure that I'm engaged even in that organization to a degree of, man, let me know how I can be praying for that.
I love it. I just like to quote an expert on this. How does it move the gospel needle?
Yeah. That's a great, the person who said that, I think, is extremely wise, and we should get him on a podcast.
I think we should put him on a podcast to help our people think as stewards and not owners, as ambassadors and not consumers.
Love that. I think the key thing for me is, are we doing the due diligence?
Yeah.
Don't just give money and walk away.
Yeah.
Give the money. 6 months later, say, did that move the needle for that organization? Did it move, or not for the organization, but for Jesus Christ and the gospel? Did someone find out? If no one found out about Jesus and his love, then maybe don't give there again. Mm-hmm. I'm actually, a lot of people have felt over the years that we just give it to the charity and leave it with them. I am challenging donors to say, will this make a difference for Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't, maybe move the money somewhere else.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't like that because they're pretty comfortable giving their $10,000 or whatever amount of money.
And feel bad to stop.
And feel bad to stop. Yeah, we've supported those 7 children in Africa for so many years. And when I found out it was maybe a Muslim giving the book of Quran to these children, maybe that's not a good place to give, but boy, I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah, investment is so important. Paul, I think I just want to affirm what you just said. I just want to add to it. I think you would have, because we've talked about this, but it's not just about decisions. It's about disciples. And we want to see local churches flourishing when we're giving overseas or even giving locally. And I know one of the things we take very seriously as elders and the directors is we don't want to give money to decisions. We want to see local churches planted and flourishing. We want to see people not only making a decision for Christ, but becoming fully devoted followers of Christ. And again, Amen. May I encourage, and I know you can't say this yourself, but investigating these things is so important. You've said that. I would say find someone else who's an expert in it. Paul, this is where I would use you. Find someone who's an expert in it who can help you with this, who's been around the block, who understands the long-term impact, who maybe has watched that ministry for 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, not only in your initial investment, but I would even encourage them to use someone else in their ongoing investments. I think I've shared this on our podcast before, but there's a ministry that was saying how great they were doing in Iran and, you know, revival in Iran. Isn't this great? And they were doing a conference in the very same place we were, bragging about thousands of coming to Christ. And my interpreter took me to that hotel, and literally, I think there's maybe four or five people there. It was just one of those reminders to me that the world is not the only place where people are taking advantage of those who want to steward their money well. Yeah. And so I just agree with you fully. We need to investigate local church first.
Yeah.
Make sure the local church is accountable, for sure. Make sure there's good policies and procedures in the investment of that money for kingdom impact. Gospel ministry beyond the church, and then again, in your sphere of influence, when you see a need, meet it. Yeah. Meet it in the name of Jesus and for him, and do it carefully so that it builds the kingdom, but do it. And find an expert, or do the time. And I loved what you said, Brad. It's not about throwing money to appease your conscience. It's about investing your life, all that you are, all that you have, in kingdom things. Pray for it. Pursue it. Maybe go on a short-term missions trip. Yeah. Maybe, but truly be more than just, my conscience feels better.
Yeah. Yeah, we've kind of waded into this conversation a little bit, but what does it actually mean if we are to be stewards of money? If we trust that what we said at the beginning is that God has given us everything that we have, so we trust it as God's money, then what are some other ways for us to actually take that and go, okay, I wanna use this really well? And in your experience, Paul, how have you seen that with, okay, how do we use our money actually well beyond even just like giving to other things?
Well, one of the ways that I always challenge people to is to track where we give our money and did it make a difference or not. A lot of people go,
did it move the needle?
There we go, Rob. I love that. Say, did that $5, $10, $100, $10,000, did it actually make a difference? I always challenge the donors that I give advice to follow up and make sure 6 months out, hey, give me a bit of a report. And if they get a report that they've seen for the last 7 years, and it's just a template that they're just pushing out as an organization, many of our larger, older organizations do a lot of template reporting back. And I say, no, what did that project, if you give it? So when I tell people to give, especially in the larger areas of thousands of dollars, I say, my money, here's $1,000, here's $10,000, and I want it to go towards something that in 6 months, I want to hear how it changed the lives of those people, whether it's the farm in Africa, whether it's the sewing machine that I helped buy this lady in Haiti, whatever that project is. And I always challenge people, just pray about it. Yeah. What is God saying to you about it this moment? Did God say, this is what you should do with your money? Mm-hmm. A lot of people sometimes give and then just hold their hands off.
Yeah.
Due diligence is important. I always tell people to understand how much administrative costs are chewed up in their dollars.
Yeah.
The Well in Africa is one where an organization in Canada takes 20% administration and they give it to a well-building company in Chicago that hires someone in Uganda, that hires someone in the local village. Every one of those chewed up, and that $10,000 gift becomes a $2,000 gift, which can't really build a proper well.
Yeah.
So I always tell people to know where the money's gone, track that down through your access to the Revenue Canada CRA has a T3010 report that says what the top 10 people of that organization are paid or what are the dollars. Because a lot of people say, I have a 4% overhead. I believe very few people have that 4% overhead. Mm-hmm. But this giving the honest answers and looking into that, we have a thing in Canada called the Four C's, which is Christian Charities in Canada. And they have a new tracking app that they help people with. There's Charitable Village. There's Ministry Watch. There's a number of really good assets that you can utilize to make a difference so that your dollar goes further. I also tell people, don't just give $10 here, $10 there. Instead of giving 100 people $10, why don't you give 10 people $100 and make a bigger difference that way? So I always challenge people in that area, because then I think you can track better. Because at the end of the day, we want to stand before God one day. And he said, what did you do with time, talents, and treasures? In North America, treasure is a very big part of that. And did your money go to something that really made a difference for Jesus Christ?
So I really like what you're saying, Paul. Some people might have to slow it down from on triple speed, which I know some people listen to, and go a little slower to listen to what you said. I think some of it was complex. I do know, Paul, you're willing to talk to people. I think it's important to look to experts in this, especially if you're just a normal person trying to invest what little you have for God and for his glory. So I just want to, again, try to sum up what I heard you say. Be generous. Mm-hmm. Make sure you've thought through where God wants you to be generous. It's local church, and then gospel, and then those in need. Care where you give, and then invest your life in making sure it's the right place. So again, it's kind of back to what we talked about. You're a steward, not an owner. You're an ambassador, not a consumer. And so when you invest, it's not throwing money away so that you feel better. I think, Brad, you pointed that out early as well. But it's actually caring enough to make sure that what God has entrusted into you to give, you're giving in such a way that you're moving the needle. And we're going to say that like 15 times today, moving the gospel needle. Mm-hmm. And Paul, I think that's where your value has been, at least as I've seen it, is you help in terms of understanding the questions to ask, understanding where those questions can be answered. And then for someone like me who is not an expert in this, you can say, hey, look at this, look at the whatever you said, T, whatever, and look at this and these numbers here. Yeah, thank you. And how much is going into overhead and how much is going administrative costs, I think is what you said. But all of those things are super important. Someone like you can do that in like 30 seconds. Someone like me probably couldn't do it. I'm saying to our people who are listening to this, probably more like me than our expert Paul, listen carefully to what he said. If you can do it on your own, great. If not, find someone that can help you with it, whether that's even the local church. Maybe it's our missions department can be pushed in this, or someone like Paul who can help us. Okay, local church is priority. That's easy. Make sure the local church is doing things correctly. And then, okay, after that, now I'm confused. Well, this person asked for the money, therefore I'm going to give it to him. I think what Paul is saying to us is no. Look for where God would have you. Pray like crazy. Yeah. Look for gospel impact. Where is the gospel needle moving? Yeah. And then make sure, and Brad, I think you said this, and I just want to affirm it, make sure you're chasing that up with prayer, with your life, because God wants to use us to accomplish his purposes for his glory with what he has entrusted to us, time, treasures, and talents. Yeah.
One of the things that I always challenge people on is you hire a financial planner to manage your money. You hire a physical coach to give you some exercise tips. When we take our businesses, as we build out our businesses, we do a ton of due diligence. But when we give our money to God's kingdom, we just say, I hope it goes well. And it's a wish in the wind we blow. I'm saying be a lot more thoughtful.
Yeah.
See what God wants to do. Keep asking God. Wake up every morning, God, how can my life make a difference today? And in North America, money is a big part of that.
Yeah.
How do I spend my money? And just be a lot more intentional and really think that through.
Yeah. I think what you're saying there too also is that it's also not just about what we're giving to, but I think it's if we trust that all of my money is God's, then I need to look at, oh, what am I buying as well? Mm-hmm. That's then preventing me from maybe having more of a gospel impact with my money, where I'm going, oh, I'm spending all this money over here. Is that really something I should be doing? And even thinking through that. And I know that's been something in my own life where I'm trying to notice more of going, okay, where am I actually spending money? And then is that, if this is God's money and I'm buying this with it, okay, is that actually, you know, is that actually what he would have me do? And I think I love what we're saying as far as, man, we need to look at what we're putting it towards. I've been at a couple Christian concerts recently, and they usually at some point they have something you can give towards. And I was at one this last week, and it was, oh, if you give, we'll give you a free t-shirt. And so I wonder how many of those people there that I think, I'm guessing we could look into it, and it would probably be a solid organization to give towards, but it's okay. Are we giving because, man, I feel like I haven't given recently, but if I do this, I get a free t-shirt. And so that's great. Let me do that. where it's, is that actually a heart posture that God wants us to have even in those situations?
I think that's a great point. How do you like your new t-shirt?
Oh, it's great. I'm wearing it today. No, I'm just kidding.
One of the things that's called impulse giving, Brad. And yeah. That's one of the things I always talk to people about. Be thoughtful and in prayer. If I was at a concert, and I've been to a number of them, and I see an organization, I step back and say, okay, God, do you want me to be involved here? And I think if we do the due diligence, many times, many of these organizations maybe aren't doing exactly what God wants you to do with your money. And maybe he wants you to be more focused on more gospel-focused things.
Yeah,
I like that. I also think that a lot of these organizations will tug at your heart. So you're checking out of a grocery store or whatever. I would prefer, let's say there's something to help children eat. Well, it's a good thing. There's children that are starving even in Canada. I would prefer someone get a heart for that and do the due diligence, as Paul has said, to invest God's money in God's given it to you to invest or entrusted it to you to invest. I would way prefer a thoughtful giving. So I would say absolutely, if you feel a tug on your heart because you're at the grocery checkout line or you're at a concert, absolutely, if God is tugging your heart, just do due diligence and make sure the money you're investing that's his has moves the needle, moves the gospel needle the most.
I love that.
Yeah. My motivation is not I want a t-shirt. My motivation is I want to please God with my money.
Or even for me anyway, and I'm less emotional than some around me, to appease my conscience because I know children are starving. I want to help starving children. Okay, here's $2 I can throw in a thing. I can give an extra dollar in the Costco thing. I love the idea of helping the poor. I just think that God wants us to invest his money for maximum poverty release and maximum, especially kingdom impact. Yeah.
Rob, I really want to follow up on that because I think when we know it's God's money and are we using it wisely for his kingdom causes, which is the gospel, that's what we need to keep coming back to. Mm-hmm. Whose money is it anyhow?
Yeah. And I love that. And there's, like you said, it doesn't mean we don't help the poor, but we go, what organization is doing that? And they're sharing the gospel with them and they're giving them hope. So it's, hey, my money is going towards that. It's still helping with that, but it's now to one that I can say, this is great.
One of the popular organizations now is giving water is a big thing. Giving people a cup of water, but are we doing giving people a cup of water in the name of Jesus? Mm-hmm. And is it going to move the needle in regards to bringing them to Christ?
I love that I came up with that.
That was awesome.
We need like a t-shirt with that.
Move the needle. Yeah. And if you give $20 to Paul, you get a free t-shirt that says there move the needle.
It's $20 a month, Rob.
It's subscription. Awesome. Well, I want to get into, there's been so much practicality in this, but I want us to ask this question is what does God tell us will happen when we give? Because I think with what we've just pointed out, sometimes we hear these statements of, hey, if you give this $20, hey, God is going to bless you in return, or God gives to those who give. And so how do we actually understand that of, okay, what does the Bible actually say of when we give to God, what does he say will we get in return?
So let me start by fighting against what the prosperity gospel has falsely promised so many in other countries and sadly some in our country. We don't give so that we have more of our own money. Mm-hmm. We don't give so that God owes us and God will pay us back now. We don't go, okay, God, I gave you 10%. Now you owe me. You owe me more so that I can invest. So I just want to start by saying we're investing in eternity what God has entrusted to us. So if the mindset is God owns everything that I am, everything that I have, then giving to him, the passion of our heart should be because we want more of him. We want to be devoted more to him. We want more intimacy with the Almighty. We want to be obedient followers of Jesus. So let me say it's not for personal gain here. Now let me say that when you give to God, when you align yourself with God, when you invest and see yourself the proper way, you have the right motives, you will gain not only investment in eternity, Matthew 6, but here, when the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive, it definitely means for eternity. Mm-hmm. But I also think that those, and Paul, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, those who give are more joyful. Those who invest, those who are a part of helping others will be blessed themselves. And I think that's temporary. So let me say that always with God's commands are best. Intimacy with God is the richest place that we can go. And building that relationship and living a life of obedience is the most important thing we can pursue, regardless of the cost. Mm-hmm. let me say that the cost, although big from a worldly perspective, is actually the best way we could live now. Yeah. So although I know there are some who write books like Your Best Life Now, yeah, and they mean you'll be rich and you'll have all these things, I would say that Your Best Life Now means that you have a deep love for Jesus, experienced yeah his love so rich that you align his life with him. And now, because you're living for him as an ambassador, not a consumer, as a steward, not an yeah owner, then you'll have a joy,
yeah,
a peace, a blessing, an eternal reward.
Yeah.
We should give with those motives in mind. So one of the dangers when we talk about giving is that if people think they're giving to get more, they're right if you mean biblically.
Yeah.
They are way wrong
yeah
if you mean fleshly. In fact, if yeah the idols, the two main idols that we fight as a culture, sexual immorality and materialism, if the reason you give is to build your idol even more, stop giving.
Yeah.
Understand whose money it is yeah and start stewarding.
Yeah.
So I think there's tremendous blessing to giving the way God wants us to give. Yeah. I had some friends from Houston in church not that long ago, and they came to me and they said, one of the things you taught us was to give sacrificially, and we had nothing. And we started to do what you had called us to do, and we've never been in need. And they're just stepping into retirement. And he shared with me, and as we retire, we have so much more than we ever could have imagined when we started to give. I believe that's true. And I don't think you should give because of that.
Yeah.
I think you should give because of God,
yeah,
the gospel,
yeah,
and grace.
Yeah.
But when you do, and when you have those motives to give, the reward here and for eternity is amazing.
Yeah.
What I want to build off, Rob, is your conversation about the joy that it brings to us. First of all, when we know it's God's money, and when we release it into his kingdom, and we see it make a difference, not only in the local church, but around the world, we have such joy in giving, and we want to do it more. And I think once we understand that we get this joy in our giving, we want to do it more. And there's so many people that are, I use the word donor fatigue in one of my books because it talks so clearly about—
One of your books.
Oh, so the second booklet or leaflet, whatever. Bottom line, it's really important that we know that God will give us more joy in our giving,
yeah,
and will allow us to give more. I go to conferences and hear about people that give away 90% of their salary, and the joy that it's brought to them is so exciting to watch and see. And so for me, I think as I talk to people about their giving, is when you know where it's going and see it make a difference, you're going to have joy
yeah
past whatever you could dream or imagine.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great for us understanding that when we are those who are given, we are trusting God. I mean, it's the same with every other aspect of our life. And I think that's what we've seen throughout this is, man, when we are, say, I'm going to follow God instead of me, what the flesh wants, there is just a freedom in that, the freedom of knowing God. I mean, it says that we cannot serve two masters, God and money. And so I think when we are not able to live for God, then we're ultimately a slave. We're a slave to our money. We're always for sure chasing those things. We're stuck in that. We're stuck just trying to appease, you know, our conscience because, oh, I'm not following God as much, so I'm just going to give in this way. Or, no, I love my money, and so I don't want to give. Oh, I'll only give 10% because then I get the rest for myself, which I think is what we're seeing. We've touched on this just a little bit, and this is our last question. Where, what about those, maybe it's the, like you said, Paul, when you were just young and you were getting a dollar, or maybe the college student or the young family where they don't feel like they have a lot of money. Maybe they have loans that they have to pay off and they're feeling right now, man, that's what I got to do with my money. What would you say to them? And for those where it's like, man, I don't have a lot to give. What if it's best for me to just save right now so that I can even give more later? What would you say to those people?
Well, it's interesting. I actually had a coffee with one of our congregants here at CBC this morning, and he said, if I was on the air, I would tell them it's about budgeting and doing it now. I think building habits into our lives by using the jars or the envelopes or whatever system, even when you don't have that much money, I think being intentional on building a plan, building a budget, and making sure that we make a difference for God with our giving now. I run into a lot of people say, you know, I'm barely making minimum wage. I can barely live. I can barely exist. So I don't tithe. I don't believe that's what God wants. Mm-hmm. And so I honestly believe build into it now a system, a budget, a plan of attack, that we can make it a part of our lifestyle of faithful stewardship to God's kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would affirm that completely. I know statistically that the more you have or the more you make, the less percentage-wise you give. So all of the people who say, if I only had a little more, then I'd give more, it's not true.
Yeah.
And you need to pattern into your life. So I just would, first of all, say biblically, we are stewards, whether it's 2 pennies, the widow who gave her 2 pennies. We're stewards, whether we have 2 pennies or 2 billion. And we need to invest in eternity now with what God has invested in us or given to us to invest. So, I think once we have that mindset, it needs to begin now. You need to shape your life now and pattern. The other thing I would say, and I think, Paul, you hinted at this, you're in a family.
Yeah.
You need to model it to your family, and they will learn not from so much what you say, although you need to say it, but from what you do. So, I would agree with Paul. Begin now. For sure, at different stages of life, you'll be able to invest in different ways, for sure. But make sure that you don't see your life as a consumer now and an investor later. See your life as an investor all of the time, a steward.
Well, one of the things I see, Rob, is many times young families really keep their giving secret. And I always say to model it for your children and say why you give to where you give, so that from a very early age, kids get excited. I remember my mom and dad always had missionaries in their home. That's something that doesn't happen a lot, although over the last couple of years, I've had a number of missionaries in our home. And now I'm a grandpa and want to model this for my grandchildren.
But you're a grandpa?
Seven times.
Yeah, you pointed that out to us earlier.
You are too, believe it or not.
Yeah. I made it very clear that I'm an elder, but not older. Although maybe
although
I'm
grandpa, you're both.
Yeah, I guess I'm both. Yeah. Anyhow, I believe God has given us a mandate to train up in our children. And I tell young families right from an early age, if you support a missionary, $50 or $100 a month, when you get that letter back from those missionaries, and I tell you, if that missionary is not giving you a letter back, maybe find another missionary that does. But bottom line, tell the kids, hey, isn't it neat what God's done with that $100 a month or $50 a month? That comes back to, a lot of people say, I don't have tens of thousands of dollars to give away. Yeah. Start modeling it now. Yeah. Share with your kids, share with your grandkids why this is important and why God's put us on this earth, so that one day God is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Well, and that ties into what Brad had said earlier, where don't just give, pray.
Yeah.
And I love what you're saying, because you're modeling as a family now. Yeah. We're stewards and we're investing. And this is not just a place we throw our money. This is a kingdom impact. This is a moving the gospel needle impact that we're making.
Mm-hmm. Love it. And when the missionaries show up in your church, the kids are not going, oh, another missionary. Hey, what are they talking about? Yeah. And how's that impacting the kingdom? One of the things I really like about CBC is we model missions is important to our church. And when missionaries come every Sunday, we're talking and praying for a missionary. It's really important to model that out to our church and to our families.
Yeah. No, I think that's so good. And I think there's this balance here. What we're pointing out is, one, with what the Bible says, giving is first a faithfulness thing, where it's not, oh, I'll do this when I have the ability to, but it's something that God has just said, hey, this is, I'm going to give you things. You are, you know, there's a faithfulness. And then there's also a, okay, I want to figure out kingdom impact. Ultimately, we trust that God is the one who works and moves and uses our money. God is not contingent upon our money to work. He's more powerful than any funds right to work. But I think we go, okay, so then God, I just want to be faithful and trust you with the work. But then with what I'm giving to, I do want to know, okay, you're working through those, your people. I want to make sure I am investing in your people who are caring about the gospel. And so I think those two things is what you have pointed out this whole time, is we want faithfulness to God, giving and just trusting God with that, but also using, you know, the connections that we have, the people that we know, to go, I also want to make sure I am giving to the best place. And so that is where I think we want to sit, and what every single person listening to this podcast can ask, am I doing that? And how do I do that best?
Hmm. I really believe if we can leave people with two things, first of all, God owns it all.
Yeah.
It's his money. And how could we be faithful in spending or using that money for giving to causes that make a difference?
Yeah.
And for sure, be involved in your local church, giving first, but also engaged as ambassadors for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I love that. I was going to come up with 3 last thoughts. Brad, am I allowed?
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. I would say check your motive.
Yeah.
Make sure that you are an ambassador, truly, not a consumer, not a person who is your steward, not someone who's a consumer. God, gospel, mm-hmm. and grace. Mm-hmm. And then hear the mandate. God commands us to be cheerful givers.
Yeah.
God commands us to invest, to be good stewards.
Yeah.
And then my third is move. Take the time now to, after listening to this, say, okay, I am actually going to change. I'm going to align myself with the Word of God on one of the false gods in our culture, materialism, false god. I'm going to think biblically and live biblically, have the right motive, obey the scriptures, follow the right mandate, and today make some movements in that direction so that you align yourself with the Word of God.
Are we allowed to change that last one to move the needle? Can we change your last point to that?
The gospel needle.
The
then,
gospel.
Yes. Okay, I want to start all over. Okay. I want to say motive, God, gospel, grace, mandate.
Yeah.
Obey what the Word of God says.
Yeah.
And move the gospel needle.
There we go.
Love it.
Yeah. I love that phrase. I love the person who came up with that. I think it's just amazing.
I want to quote him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If he got $100 for every time we said that this podcast, he would have so much to give.
Yes. To invest.
Yes. I love that.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Paul, for being here for this podcast. And like we said in this, if this is something that you're saying, man, how do I even do this? Paul is someone who would love to connect with you more about that, because this is something he has a passion for. And so we pray and hope that this can be an encouragement to you, that you can take practical things from this to invest in God's kingdom and move the gospel needle. We will see you guys next time.